He was talking to us about Slush over there in Finland. Now, when it comes to computers, the Z1 computer hasn't really had a lot of luck. Designed in the 1930s, it was a fiendishly complex piece of mechanical engineering built of cogs and sliding mechanical rods. And it was a temperamental beast. But most unfortunate of all, it was destroyed in the Second World War. But years later, the machine was reconstructed over the course of a couple of decades. But not as a physical replica, but virtually, its mechanical systems simulated in digital models on a modern computer. The people behind that have just been honoured with an award for computer conservation. They share the prize, called the Tony Sale Award, with a physical restoration of a landmark late 1950s IBM machine. Tony Sale was a founder of the Bletchley Park Computing Museum in England, and when the award in his name was announced, I heard from the chair of the judges, Professor Martin Campbell Kelly. He's an emeritus professor at Warwick University.
The IBM was a restoration of a really big machine. The IBM 1401 was IBM's first really successful computer, and it completely changed the shape of the computer industry. So whereas IBM had been selling accounting machines at one time, suddenly in a period of 2 years they switched over to computer production. The Z1 computer was built during 1936 to 1938 by Konrad Zuse. During the war, it was destroyed in an air raid in 1943. But in his retirement in the 1980s, Konrad Zuse decided to reconstruct that original Z1 computer. The Zuse 1, of course, it stands for. Of course, the problem with that computer was that it contained 30,000 parts. And of course, like all those early computers, it wasn't something that you could run on a day-to-day basis. So that was what persuaded Professor Rojas to sort of liberate this machine, essentially make a virtual Z1.
Martin Campbell Kelly. Well, let's now hear from the winners themselves. And first, Raul Rojas, who was with that Z1 team in Germany. And soon after receiving his award, Raul told me more about the project and that it was an especially complicated venture.
It's like a giant clockwork, so with thousands and thousands of components. And what we did in order to better figure out how the machine worked was a simulation of the different parts of the machine. People interested from all over the world can go to the website, can look at the pictures of the machine, can rotate the machine, see it from different sides, can see how the plates move, and can also read the technical description of the machine and also go to the blueprint. So we have a complete description of the machine for the first time.
And to help me understand what you mean by a virtual reconstruction, is it a bit like being able to model each individual mechanical component within the machine? So you can say, OK, let's see if we make that spring, we'll increase the tension on that slightly, we'll just very slightly change the dimensions of this metal plate. It's those kinds of things that you can tweak in the virtual model and play around with it until eventually it works.
We want to put every single piece of the machine in the same virtual dimensions that it has, arrange them all together, and then see them work in interplay so that you can figure out when this piece of metal is moving, this other piece of metal is being activated, and then you see the complete computation coming out of the machine. It's like seeing a clock working virtually in your computer and being able to manipulate and interfere and modify at every single point.
That first time that you ran your simulation after all this work and it finally did what you were hoping it was going to do and you knew that you had nailed it, what was that moment like?
It took 20 years. I went weekly to see the components of the machine, trying to understand how it could work. And now I had figured it out. And it's a great moment when you know that you have understood the machine. It's a little like Tony Sale. So this is the Tony Sale Award. I met Tony Sale in 1999. And I was just amazed by his reconstruction of Colossus. You can be as good as you want technically, but if you are not obsessed with a project, you would never have done what Tony Sale did with Colossus. And you need that kind of obsession for this kind of projects.
Raul Rojas, and of course he mentioned Colossus there. This was the Second World War code-breaking computer whose replica was built by a team that was led by Tony Sale, that we've been hearing about. So as the judging chair, Martin Campbell Kelly, explained just now, the other winner was the team behind the reconstruction of the IBM 1401 computer. Now that project was represented by Robert Garner, and it involved scavenging two old 1401s for parts. One of the computers was from Germany and the other from the United States.
The German system had been stored outdoors in a garage for 30 years. And so there's a lot of rusting, a lot of mechanical, you know, aging. And ironically, transistors were built at that time with iron in the cap and in the leads. After a while, I was just wondering if we had acquired 10,000 rusted transistors. We were offered a second 1401 that had been stored in the basement of a family home in Darien, Connecticut. And the week it arrived, the German 1401, the 1401 we had acquired from Germany, started the work. The machine from Darien had been operated up until Darien, Connecticut, up until 1995. So it had fewer rusted components.
Can you still get those transistors, or can you just get equivalents?
You are, believe it or not, able to get germanium bipolar transistors online. And so all the transistors that we repaired use original era devices.
Apart from sourcing some very old transistors, what about the scope and the challenge of this project? Give us a sense of scale here.
The IBM 1401 has a lot of mechanical components, and it's in this transition zone between punch card processing and more electronic processing. No terminal input, right? So input is punch card, so you got to get all the punch card units to work. Some old punch card equipment came along with it. We restored that. Each tape drive is like an automobile, because it's got belts in it and motors, and it's got magnetic powder clutches. The printers, each one is like an automobile. They have hydraulics. Someone once described them like a cross between a machine gun and a typewriter. We put about 25,000 volunteer hours into restoring the two systems. And one of the main motivations is the way kids' faces light up when they see it, when they come in to see these machines working. I call them CompuSores. Looks like you've got this dinosaur coming back to life. And so when kids, young adults and of any age, feel like they've gone back in time in a time machine, and if you can so easily go back in time, your imagination can be fired to go forward in time, right? If you have this feeling that you can, if this the world changed this much in 50 years, what could it do in the next 50 years?
Robert Garner. So, Bill, do you have a favourite CompuSore reconstructed computer?
I do love that idea of the CompuSore, and also the idea of locating computer technology in on a timeline so you can see how things are going forward. And I absolutely do have my own favourite, and it's a machine I know of well. It's called the EDSAC. EDSAC was built in 1949 at Cambridge University. I was lucky enough to know the guy who led the team that built it, Maurice Wilkes, before he died a few years back. And this week, in fact, the EDSAC reconstruction is having its first public demonstration. They're turning on some elements of the machine. They're actually reconstructing an EDSAC from what remains of the original plans. It's happening at the National Museum for Computing on Bletchley Park, so it's quite near to Bletchley, where Colossus and the other reconstructions are happening. Well, Colossus is actually in the National Museum. And for me, it's really exciting because it goes back to my computing childhood. Okay, my undergraduate days when I was significantly younger than now. And it gives us a connection, I think, to the very early days of computing, which is really important. We should hold on to it. I helped judge the Tony Sale Computer Conservation Award 2 years ago, so very pleased to see that it continues and that there were two worthy winners this year.
Okay, well, Bill, thank you very much indeed for that. That is Click for this week, but we'll be back with more next week, so we'll see you then. I'm Gareth Mitchell. The producer is Colin Grant. Goodbye.